Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Before we begin, I want to remind y'all to make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you wouldn't mind, please rate and review Dress in Splendor wherever you listen to podcasts. I would love to be able to share more episodes like these where we highlight some incredible people so others can find them and hear their testimonies. And speaking of incredible people, we have an exciting guest on the show on this week's episode. I have the wonderful, Holy Spirit-filled woman, Kashawn Watson, as my guest today. And my first impression of her? How did I not know her sooner? Kashawn is an amazing person, and she is the founder of Say Grace & Company, and she also has her own podcast called The K. Watts Podcast, which I recently subscribed to and love, and I highly encourage y'all to do the same. Kashawn and I have a wonderful conversation of how and why she founded Say Grace & Company and dive into different topics that I know will be an encouragement to you because it sure was for me. So with that said, welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure for sure.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I kind of reached out just because your company, Say Grace & Company, follows me on Instagram and I follow you guys. And I actually could not figure out who the founder was. And so I didn't know it was you. And I think actually, I don't know if you do that on purpose or not, but I love that you highlight so many different women when you do post a lot of their work and your stories and promoting things, and you don't really highlight yourself. But once I found out who you were, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, she does so much and I didn't even know. And I am thrilled to be able to connect with you in that way. If there's anybody who's listening to this podcast who doesn't know you, as I didn't really know you before, could you just share a little snippet of who you are for those who don't know you?
Yeah. So like you said, my name is Kashawn Watson. Social media, people probably know me as K Watts. I'm the founder and creator of Say Grace & Company. I'm also a podcaster, TEDx speaker. I'm a wife to an amazing pastor. So he's a worship pastor. So that's kind of like in general who I am. A lot of hats, a lot of titles, but most importantly, I'm a daughter of a king, and I will probably wear that first any day of the week.
Amen.
That's like who I am and what I do.
Yeah, I love that. And I kind of just want to open up that conversation. How did Say Grace & Company how did that come about? Where was the inspiration behind that?
That's a really great question. I feel like it's a loaded answer. So I'll just kind of like get into a little bit of the backstory. Sure. So I didn't come from a ministry background, like even though I've been saved since I've been 12 years old, I didn't come from like being in the church all day, every day. Like that really wasn't what like was my relationship with the Lord. And it wasn't until I got older and I really started seeking God for myself and asking Him like specific questions and Him giving me specific answers. And that kind of like led me into deepening my relationship with Him. During this entire time, I'm actually working in corporate America. So I worked about 7-8 years in corporate. And that led me to travel around a lot. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
But I've basically lived in eight states due to work. So I
Ooh.
went from Baltimore to St. Louis, St. Louis to Chicago, Chicago to Toronto, Toronto to New York, New York to L.A. And when I
Wow.
got into L.A., I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Streaming won't do. Get in my house." Because
Whoa.
this entire time when I was traveling, I didn't have a home church because everything seemed very temporary. But I knew that I heard the Holy Spirit specifically say, "Streaming won't do. Get into my house."
Wow.
So I found a church home, like literally very quickly. And that's when I really started, digging a little bit deeper, planting a little bit more, and just really seeking God and kind of like, is this how you want me to do life? Like, do you want me to be a light in corporate America and travel around the world? And if so, like, great. I was single this entire time, right? And, getting to that age, if you will, where people start looking at you like, do you want to get what's happening? What's going on? What's, they're all the questions, right? But at this point, I was probably at the height of my professional career. I was making more money than I had ever made and was deemed successful at this point. And around that time, probably like 5 years into LA, living a life that I could only have dreamed of living, I heard the Holy Spirit told me that I was resigning and to find my replacement. So at this point, I didn't have any other instruction. Resign and do what? So probably 6 months later, I resigned. I found my replacement and I put in my notice. And I just kind of was like, okay, God, what do I do? So I went on kind of like a sabbatical. I went out to San Diego for a little bit just to kind of like rest. And then I went back home to spend some time with family that basically I hadn't really spent a lot of quality time with because I was just traveling to so many places for the last 7 years. And then after that, I was like, okay, God, I'm ready to kind of like get back to work. So I took all of my years of experience working in corporate and I launched my own kind of like coaching business, brand development, because I did it for a lot of big NGOs. I worked with nonprofits like World Vision, Doctors Without Borders, American Red Cross. I did it on such a major scale to where I was like, I know that I could do this independently for small businesses. And what ended up happening is every time I went into these conversations with people to discuss business and branding, their brokenness would be very present at the table to where God would have me ministering to them. And while I was kind of like, felt grateful enough to be able to speak into their lives, like I was a little frustrated because I was kind of like, God, this isn't really what I had signed up for, right? Like this isn't, I'm not a pastor, so I don't feel equipped or in the position to do this. But it wasn't just one, it wasn't just two, it was like one after the other, after the other, after the other. It was like, okay. And people would prophetically say during like you have an evangelist, like this is how God used you to move to all these different places was to evangelize. Had nothing really to do with the jobs, but he was moving you in cities and could trust you there. To basically spread the gospel. So I did that, and in the midst, I knew that there was a calling to speak. And I was like, okay, let me launch a podcast. And when I started promoting, that's when I actually met my husband. He is a worship pastor in Texas and also a Christian recording artist. And he had reached out to see if he could be on my podcast if I interviewed artists or had ever done that. At that point, I never did. It was brand spanking new. I hadn't had any guests, so he was actually my very first guest. And that conversation lasted for 3 hours, and the Holy
That's
Spirit
nice.
came in the room. It was a whole lot of things happening. Oh, epic's happening. So long story short, I ended up leaving California and moving to Texas 2 weeks before the pandemic. And then
Oh my goodness.
didn't know anyone there, but my now husband was in an apartment by myself. Furniture was still being delivered, and then literally like February 2020, and then literally the world shuts down in March.
Wow.
And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, what in the world is this? Like, I know that you told me to move. I feel really confident about this guy, but I feel super exposed. I have no idea what I'm doing. You had me leave my job to now I'm here. Business has now slowed down and basically stopped because a lot of these small businesses could barely keep up overhead just to pay themselves. So a lot of them were scrambling to figure out what they were going to do. So I went from having like 13 clients to going down to two, literally just bare minimum to cover basic expenses. And I'm just like, okay, so I'm at the church and I go to like a women's conference, and while I'm there, I just ask God during the conference, why am I here? Like, it didn't make sense. All the other moves made sense. This is the only one, in my opinion, didn't make sense. And during that service, when I asked him that question, he told me that I launch here. And then he gave me the title of Say Grace and told me that it was women gathering from all different churches, not just one. And I was supposed to launch it. So that long drawn about, that's how it started. It was in March of 2020. And God gave me the title that it was Say Grace and Co. And well, literally he said, Say Grace. And he told me what it was. And still at that point, I really didn't have understanding of what that looked like, but that's how it originally launched.
That isn't it funny? I feel like a lot of things actually catapulted in 2020 during COVID. You know, it was like, I guess that's the best time that we're able to, like, we're sitting in our own thoughts and we're alone and we're able to actually maybe even hear the Holy Spirit a little bit better. And those, he's like, well, nothing else is distracting you right now, so let me speak to you in this moment.
People also were seeking God like never before in 2020. Like, people were communing and abiding and repenting, like all of that. Like, people were on their knees weeping in 2020 for a variety of reasons like never before.
And even absolutely, the need for Jesus too. I know that I talked to someone at one point saying he had worked for, or he works for a church, and he said that there were more attendees online during COVID in that season than they've ever had before. And he was just sharing, like, people are just hungry to be in church again and draw near to God. And it was it was in that moment in COVID where I realized, like, what I was doing with my job then was, it wasn't bad, but it was something I realized, like, okay, God, like, what am I supposed to be doing in my life? Because this is not what you've called me to do. I know that there's a higher calling. And what is that? And that was how Splendor Magazine and eventually this podcast, you know, came to be, was because of that. And so I'm weirdly enough just thankful for COVID, because I think if I had stayed in where I was at without being stuck at home, and I mean, the Lord brought about me leaving anyways, but if I hadn't had that time, I probably wouldn't have realized that, like, I need to continue to pursue where God is leading me. And here we are 3 years later. So
yeah, so good. I love how God works. It's, I know, really good.
Me too. So I'm curious how you felt though when God told you to resign and find your replacement in your job. Were you like mad about that, or were you kind of like Moses, who he speaks, or not Moses, but Abraham, where he speaks and he just went, you know?
You know, I think I at this point have gotten used to hearing God's voice. There's something that happens when you are sent on assignment by yourself. And I really tell this to a lot of single women because I got married like older, if you will. So I did basically my 20s as a single woman, and I was for the most part by myself. It really was me and Jesus, but there was something so special about it, just being me and Jesus, because I was able to recognize his voice for myself. So there wasn't really a question on when God spoke to me specifically. So I knew what it looked like to disobey God and kind of like brush off if that was his voice. So I knew if he was saying to find my replacement and to resign, that it was not only because there was another calling and assignment on my life, but that this position was for someone else, and I didn't want to stand in God's way to be able to bless someone else. So a lot of times when people think of obedience, selfishly, sometimes we can think that it's always about us. And I've learned that it's not always about us. Sometimes God is calling us to obey because we're holding a position for someone else, and you have to move out of his way. And sometimes to move out of his way, you literally have to move, and it can be really hard for people. So when he told me to resign and find my replacement, that wasn't the hard part. I think the hard part, which always kind of is kind of like not knowing what you're gonna do next, right? Like I potentially could do anything. I could have, applied to start looking for other jobs when he gave me that word. All right, well, this season is up here, so let me start sending out applications somewhere else, which some may say would have been the easier transition, but I didn't feel like he was even telling me to do that. So while I'm putting in my notice and everybody's asking, what are you going to do? And that's usually the hard part. It's the questions from others sometimes that can rise up insecurities and doubt within us, even though you already know what God said. It's the inquiries. It's the vulnerable position of God giving you an instruction and you obeying it and trying to make sense of it for other people. But I've learned that if God didn't give them the instruction, it was because it wasn't for them to follow, it was for you to follow. And we're supposed to live our life as an example. So that means that it's not always that you need to explain God's movement to people. It's that you're supposed to walk and follow Jesus whenever, however. And that is what people will remember you for, right? When I think about, I was in church, and this had nothing to do with the message, but while I was in church, and this was probably like maybe like 2 months ago, I was just sitting in service, and literally the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, holy conviction will always trump good intentions. And I was kind of like, hey, this don't got nothing. But again, this got nothing to do with but I thought about it. It was one of those things to where I felt like it was God reminding me, like, do you want to be a woman that meant well? Do you want to be known as a woman that, well, I meant well, right? Like, I had good intentions. Or do you want to be known as the woman that carried holy convictions? And there is a difference. And I recognize it now more than ever what the difference looks like, because there were times to where I really just wanted to be known, or I was okay with people saying like, well, that's good and you meant well, right? But I don't know if I could say that I was always a woman that followed holy convictions. And there is a difference. And I'm now recognizing that's the type of woman that I want to be. But even with Say Grace, like, the mission is to change the way the world sees good content. And how do we do that? By really changing the way we identify with what is good, right? And I just am recognizing that if it ain't holy, it's probably not good. But we don't talk about that a lot.
Hey everyone, if you're new to our show, you might not know that this podcast is part of our ministry's Splendor magazine. Splendor is a biannual Christian women's magazine, but our focus doesn't just center around a certain niche, as other Christian women's magazines might, but the content centers around the different passions that women have in order to help encourage, empower, and equip women to use those passions to glorify God and to make disciples in their field. We have articles that range from home and living to business to The Deborah Woman, where we have a special interview with Mo Isom, and other articles such as our Hot Topic issues. This fall's Hot Topic issue is called How Today's Clay Rejects the Potter, and yes, we dive deeper into the conversation surrounding transgenderism. What does the Bible say about it, and what should our response be as children of God? This article includes testimonials from multiple people and well-thought-out research that we hope will answer some of your questions in regard to this topic, especially as it pertains to how, no matter what, we ought to love others as Christ would. This is a weighty topic, but one that we hope you will find at least some answers to. This is just one of many articles we have, and we want you to know that you are an integral part of the body of Christ, and you have gifts and talents that God wants you to use to help be a part of His will to advance His kingdom. We feel certain that when you read our magazine, you will find content that will help empower you to finally pursue God's calling for your life. Pre-orders are available now for our fall issue, and you can use code DIS10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's DIS10, D-I-S-10. Or you can subscribe to our biannual subscription to get the best price and ensure you never miss a copy of our magazine. Go to splendormag.com/shop. That's splendeurmag.com/shop to purchase your copy today. Don't forget your discount code. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Kashawn.
It's true. I think that people are also not really understanding, I guess, the difference between that. They don't know how to see the difference between holy conviction and good intention or meaning well. Mm-hmm. So how would you help people to recognize the difference if they maybe meant well and they really thought that they were pursuing holy conviction, but it wasn't actually what God was meaning for that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. From someone who probably has struggled in this area, like definitely especially earlier in my career and earlier in my walk with Jesus, I think that it's hard to say that you are convicted by something when you haven't been in the presence of the Lord.
Mm. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't do good things not being in the presence of the Lord. That doesn't mean that you can't, like, prime example, my mom, a single mom, and she did her best with what she had, but she didn't raise us in the church. But my mom has always been a giver. She gives to natural disasters. She'll give thousands of dollars to charity. Every Thanksgiving before actually going over to my grandparents' house to have like the big feast, we would always go down to homeless shelters and feed the homeless before we would go and actually have a meal. Yeah. Now, my mom, the only prayer she ever taught me was how to say grace, which is very interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
That was the only, to the extent of that when I got older, I was embarrassed because when people would ask me to pray, I would say grace. Because it's the only thing I knew.
Yeah.
God is good.
God is great.
Right? Like, it was the only vocabulary that I had at the time. Mm. And it revealed that I could recite something good.
Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying? I can recite good. You can recreate good things. You can do good things. But when it comes to living a life that is based on holy conviction, then it's very important for you to know the Holy One.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it's come with communion with God. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to really, like, if he wants to interrupt your entire plans and your evenings, and that can be in something super small, or it can be in something huge and big. And I mean, I've been times where I had a Friday night when I was single and I was so excited. I had my snacks, I had my blanket, and I was about to watch shows all night on Hulu. And as I'm getting cozy on the couch, grabbing the remote, I got my bowl of popcorn, like, literally sitting in my lap, and I couldn't be even more excited to have peace. And as I grab the remote, the Holy Spirit whispers and says, commune with me.
Like, God, come on. I just got cozy on the couch.
You want to know what's so funny? I'm like, I did earlier today. I did my devotional. I worshiped for an hour, Lord. It was great. But tonight's like my time, like, and then that's when it's kind of like, it's those small choices that we can make. Like, you can either choose to, well, I did my devos. I did my worship time. That was my routine. That was what I had routine and recited. But then this is like an impromptu interruption of the Holy Spirit saying, I want time with you. This is when you allow me to interrupt your night. Because if you can't allow him to interrupt your night, then you probably won't allow him to interrupt your week, your month, your business, your plans. So, like, God has the right to interrupt me anytime he wants, and I'm going to let him.
Yeah. No, that's such a good word. No, you keep going. Yeah. I think you have more to say.
No. That was good. That was good.
I think it's incredible you say that. And, you know, I think a lot of times people hate having things out of their control, which is why I think, like, which I think discipline is really good. The fact that you did already have your morning routine done, you spent time in worship and things like that is not a bad thing. And, you know, we ought to start our days or end our days, no matter what your routine looks like, with the Lord. And I find that spending time with him in the morning helps me to redirect the rest of my day to, you know, continuously think about him. But if we only see it as a check to-do list kind of thing, then we kind of, you know, as you were saying that you were getting ready to spend time with just you and watching TV. And I cannot tell you how many times I've done that too, where I'm like, I just need to shut my brain off. I cannot have any more things going on right now. And so if the Lord is saying something like that, you're like, oh, but that seems like a chore right now. I don't want to do it. And so I'm glad you said that, because I'm like, I should probably let myself be ready for interruptions. And that's the kind of thing, like, we don't really want him to interrupt our flow. You know, if it's not going with what we want to have, then we're less likely to want God in those moments. So, ooh, holy conviction right there, actually. So,
see,
it's
those things. And it always, you know, and it always makes sense after the fact. I tell people, like, during my single season, I sat in church every Sunday, every midweek, and I sat there for 5 years by myself, watching other couples and other marriages and other people look like they were just going on and living their lives. And I sat there looking broken, looking like, God, you know, it's just me and you. And this wasn't for 5 months. This wasn't the story of 5 months in that my husband showed up in church, right? This was kind of like, no, I sat for 5 years. But this is the interesting part. I didn't know, like, that I was going to end up, you know, marrying who I married. And marrying a worship pastor, he's in church all of the time. So this is the funny part. This is where I'm like, God, you are so funny. Because when I moved to Texas and now seeing, you know, how he would, you know, have responsibilities at the church, right? And then the pandemic hit. He was actually at the church more when the pandemic hit, because there was a lot of recording sermons and work. Like, there was more to do. So on Monday nights, people didn't know this, but My husband would go up to the empty sanctuary and worship by himself. No one was in the building. So he started inviting me to go up on Monday nights. And I was kind of like, we were just there. And then he was, no, we were there on Sundays. It's midweek. Pretty sure there was an event, like, right? And then he was kind of like, yeah, but this isn't about anyone else. This is about you, right? And I was like, and I go, like, babe, I go to church all the time. And then he responds and says to me, I don't need you to go to church. I need you to dwell in the house of the Lord and know the difference.
Oh, that's so good. Oh my goodness.
He was like, that's what the Bible says. Like, this isn't about how often you walk in those doors. It's about knowing the difference between dwelling in the house of the Lord and just going and attending church. And he was like, and there is a difference. And he was like, and if you're asking me how I'm able to pour out on Sundays and on midweeks like I do, it's not because I show up on just a Sunday and a Wednesday. It's because I can go into an empty sanctuary and worship the audience of one, because that's all and where it started. So when I first started going up on Mondays, it was so awkward for me. Like, we're sitting in this empty church, and I'm like, and what am I supposed to do here? And I'm sitting, and it's so uncomfortable. I'm just sitting there, and he's on his acoustic guitar, and he's just in his zone. And I'm like, just looking around. So then it's kind of like, all right, next Monday, same thing. I probably have like a little rock at this point, like a little less awkward, but still awkward. Third Sunday, I'm like, so how often are we going to do this? And he was like, long enough until you stop asking me how long we're going to do this for.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, okay, by the fourth Sunday, I'm probably like up and I'm clapping. Fifth Monday, I'm probably like dancing around. Sixth Monday, I'm on the stage. By the seventh Monday, he's like, are you ready to go? And I was like, oh, we're done? And he's like, it's been about 2 hours, right? And I thought it was funny because God was reminding me that I wasn't just going to church for 5 years by myself to sit there by myself. He was preparing me to be able to be his wife, someone that's in church all the time and understands what dwelling in the house of the Lord is. It's not a chore, it's not a checklist, it's an honor. And I really feel like if I hadn't been prepared in that season, that it probably would have been even harder for me just to meet the bare minimum requirements and checklist, right? But I bring that up because a lot of times we always don't understand the whys in certain seasons. We don't understand what the point of it is, right? And you know, of course, people can quote Jeremiah 29:11 all day. They can say, I know the plans that you have for me, you know, plans to give me hope and a future and a prosper. We can say that all day, but there's a lot of times where I repent before the Lord for not believing Jeremiah 29:11. Like, I have to repent when I don't believe his word. Right? I can speak it, I can say it, I can recite it, I can quote it, but then God says, I need you to believe it, that when you sat there and you felt like you were by yourself, I was with you. So when I remember that, then it's easier for me to go and do certain things that seem very bold to other people, like launch businesses during a pandemic and to bring gatherings together. Like, that can seem very bold for people, but the truth of the matter is that it gets easier when you learn to trust him with the little, right? So
Yeah, no, I actually, as you were saying that specifically, I was just thinking like how godly of an appointment this this chat is right now. Because yesterday I was in a songwriting session with a few of the local worship leaders in Peoria, where I currently live, Illinois, not Arizona or Texas or whatever. so I've had some lyrics that I wrote this past week that was based on how I was feeling and how I was, and I just even wrote about it in a post yesterday too, of just how there are times when my heart and my mind don't agree with who God says he is and what he's promised, and knowing that like this season may be tough and I know that logically God will come through, but my heart is not like catching up to that truth, you know? And so I was even mentioning that like the way that I know that my heart can be reminded of the truth is by spending more time communing, as you said, with the Lord, and finding that once I do that, I find more confidence in him and knowing he does have a plan in my life, but also to trust that maybe there's a reason why I don't have a job yet that I've been looking for, or maybe there's a reason why I am, you know, dejected. What does he want me to learn from this? So I'm finding already just through this conversation, just more of like, I guess, confidence that he is reminding me like, hey, you needed to spend some time with me. And, you know, it's not just saying you're a Christian, it's living out the walk. And as you were mentioning earlier, the difference between holy conviction and well intent and well meaning is that, you know, even for Christians, we can kind of go and say, oh yeah, I'm following the Lord, I know what he said and I'm doing what he's saying. But like, do we really have that holy conviction that we are actually taking the steps to move in where he wants us to go? So I'm curious, I guess, to know how that process kind of helped you go from like, I don't know what to do, Lord, after leaving the corporate world, into the, okay, now I'm figuring out where you want me to go and what you want me to do.
Yeah, like, good question. It came from, honestly, God really allowing me to see the temperature of where believers were at the time. And he was specifically for me highlighting a lot of Christian influencers and creatives and creators. And there was a certain temperature at that time in 2020 to where it seemed that there was an influx of testimonials that was coming out. People were having a willingness and a boldness to kind of like share more about maybe their struggles, maybe about certain things that they were battling, things that they probably hadn't shared before, that for whatever reason, they felt more comfortable just to publicly put it out there. And people were also seeing, if you want to call it a reward, the response of that is that Christian influencers were going viral. There was an influx, like it was going, like I think 50 million people were hashtagging that they were a Christian influencer, which is very interesting. I'm like, wow, got those numbers in the kingdom? Like,
come on.
Are we like 50 million strong? Like, that's, wow, guys, way to show up, right? But so that let me know that there was a market and a need. That there was, people are available, and sometimes we can feel like, God, I don't see my people. I don't see them. Where are they? I don't see where my skills are available here, work here. So it was actually during the time to where at the church I was at, there was a lack of women leading in the church. And there wasn't like a strong woman presence in the church that I was at. And that bothered me, right? I didn't know why, but I was bothered by it. It kind of made me sad. I was burdened by it. But then at the same time, I didn't feel like God was releasing me to be that person there. So there was this juxtaposition of, God, I'm bothered and burdened that there is not women really evangelizing and stepping up and speaking, right? So, but then you also aren't releasing me to do it in this house. So, okay, what do I do? And that's when I recognized that I was burdened for women sharing testimonials. One, there's something very powerful. I remember one day I was just doing my normal woman like morning routine and got kept highlighting the woman at the well. And it just literally just kept woman at the well, woman at the well. And of course, I know this story. I've heard it preached many times. It's referenced a lot of times. I didn't know why it was just ringing in my ears all day. But later that day at a worship night service, while everyone's worshiping, I remember posing the question to God. Which it was definitely prompted by the Holy Spirit, because this is not a question I would ask him, but I said, "What did you see in her?" Like, that was my question. And which I think that I asked the question because it was like, if she's being highlighted to me, there is something that you see in her. But the interesting part is that this woman doesn't even have a name mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah, that's
She's
actually
the
true.
no-name woman. We even reference her as the woman at the well, or we call her the Samaritan woman. She does not have a name.
I didn't even think
So,
about that
like,
until just now.
so I think that's pretty interesting that this is someone who had an encounter with Jesus, and yet her name is of no importance. So God, what did you see in her? And then he responded and said, "The same thing I saw in you." And I broke in that service. I broke in that service. I bawled. One, because I always bawl when I hear God respond so clear like that. It's like, right?
Overwhelming and
So
beautiful.
after I get my tears together as I'm leaving service, and this is where the enemy likes to play, is that I'm like, oh my gosh, the same thing he saw in her, like, wasn't she like shacked up? Didn't she have a? So I thought it's so. So then I go here. The funny thing is, and this is where God did work on me. So I start literally listing all her sins down. Because in my mind, when you say the same thing that you saw in her, my first mind goes, you mean her sin. So at this point, I already know that my perspective and the way that I think the Lord sees me, God exposed, is off. Because that's where my first note goes, is like, wait a minute, wait a minute. Like, if we're really gonna go there, God, like, she was doing things, okay? She was known for doing things. So this led me down to really go back and reread her story. And I mean, reread it to the point to where I'm going to go line for line, word for word. And God was highlighting so many different things. One, the fact that Jesus really didn't even have to go back to Samaria. Like, he had already been there, but he had doubled back when he encountered her at the well. That was one. Like, when people say God leaves the 99 for the one, this was the one that he went back for. The woman whose name is not mentioned. The woman that had been living and married to five different guys and was living with another one. This is the one that he went back for, right? Then for her, when she shows up at the well and Jesus asks her for a cup of water, the first thing that she does is kind of like what we do. She discounted herself. Well, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't even be asking me for a cup of water, because we're not even supposed to be in conversation. And this is kind of like what we do. Well, God, if you really knew me, you wouldn't ask me to launch a business like this. You wouldn't ask me to lead this. If you knew me, you wouldn't trust me with this. If you knew me,
Totally.
you would like. You wouldn't give me a vision to do something like this. Why would you do that? Right? This is what we do. She's in the presence of Jesus at the well, like in the most humble way.
Yeah.
The son of God is saying, I'm thirsty. Could you get me a cup? And she's over here saying, actually, no, right?
Yeah.
So I looked at that part. And then when Jesus didn't even mention her sin first, she mentioned her sin first.
Yeah.
Because this is what we do.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
In the midst of the presence of God, we think that the only thing that he sees is our sin and our situation. Yeah. And what he sees in us is delight.
Yeah.
An opportunity for us to go and evangelize, for go and live a life that he created us for. So after looking at her story and seeing, like, literally Jesus speaking to her and saying things to her, prophesying to her so that she knew who he was, but more importantly, that she would never thirst again, she immediately dropped her pail, went up to the town, and then started evangelizing. One encounter turned her into an evangelist.
Yes.
One. And because of that, if you go forward in the story in the text, it says that a lot of Samaritans became believers off of her testimony. So now I'm like, wow, God, if that's what you see in me, you can send me wherever you want to send me. You can give me an instruction forever. You ain't never going to catch me by the well and you ask me for anything and me say no. You're never going to catch me in a posture and a position where you're going to ask me to do something and I'm going to discount myself when you sent your son for me and you. And all the women out here, hashtag Christian, you mean all of y'all? And that doesn't mean that everybody's content and everybody's lives is perfect. That's not what it means.
Yeah.
But Jesus died for them too. So we're all in this thing together. So I don't know if I answered the question, but.
It did. It did. Definitely. Okay. Yeah, no, I was just going to say what you had already kind of mentioned it, but we are the first people to discount ourselves when God tells us to do something. It's Moses, you know, we are the ones continuously making excuse after excuse, unless there are some who are, you know, maybe more like Abraham or David. And you're like, yeah, I'm just going to pick up this sling and why are y'all sitting around? Come on, let's go. But I think many of us would probably describe ourselves more like Moses and be like, really me? Like, I am a nobody. I'm so weak. I don't even know what I'm doing. I think a lot of the times when God tells us to do something, like me with the magazine, I have no background in, you know, you know, journalism or anything like that. And yet it was kind of what you were saying. Like, I heard the Lord so clearly in that moment of starting a Christian women's magazine. I didn't even doubt it. I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. It wasn't until, you know, during that process where doubt started to creep in, anxiety started to creep in and saying like, what the heck am I doing? Is this even going to work? And we can, you know, there's kind of, it's the enemy at play where he's trying to make us feel like we are not worthy to be called by God to do something, but we are all made in his image. We are all his children. We are all flawed. No one is better equipped than the other person to do something. Maybe they have more experience in something like journalism and whatever, if, you know, pertaining to me with the magazine, but it does not mean that they are more equipped to do his holy work. If he made, you know, if he's called you to do something, he's going to make a way in that. And so it's kind of why I'm very interested, actually, kind of, I think what you're passionate about, and with learning women's testimonies and knowing that they have a purpose in that is kind of why I am very excited about the Deborah woman that we see in Judges. First of all, she's a woman and the only female judge, but she also, she was a prophetess where people came to her and asked her for the Lord's voice, basically, and how, I can't remember the leader's name, but how the leader who was about to go into war would not go without her in there. And I am so passionate about seeing women know that they are just as called to follow after God's plan for their lives and calling, whatever that looks like, and to to be a part of his will to advance, to further advance his kingdom. That's what he wants. He wants every knee to bow, everyone to know him as a good holy father that he is, and to just be a part of the church. And so so you've kind of touched a lot on this and how we can boldly go into to what God has called us to. And there are those, especially some of my listeners who do not even, some of them don't really even believe in hearing the Holy Spirit's voice, but there are ways that we can recognize when God is leading us into doing something. And so, and how to pursue that in a way that honors and glorifies him, but being bold to do that. So because our podcast is called Dressed in Splendor, based off of Luke 12, 27, I believe that we are called to be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field because we're made in his image. And yet that gets in the way. Because we worry after about our lives. We worry if we're good enough. We strive after what we want to do instead of trusting in the Lord every single day that he would guide our path, just as you trusted in the Lord that he would guide your path, even though sometimes it's hard for our brains or our hearts to believe in that truth. What is some advice that you would give to someone who maybe is unsure to go after a calling? Maybe it's something similar where they're called to leave their job and pursue something different based on the Holy Spirit leading them. What is some advice that you give to that person and how they can be dressed in splendor?
Yeah, I think, you know, this has been a conversation that has popped up and, you know, we've had two summits so far, one in Austin and one in Dallas. And we've had a variety of different women come from all different backgrounds, but have had influence in maybe it's a ministry, maybe it's a specific industry. But one of the things that, well, there's probably a couple of things they all have in common, but one of the things is that they all know that they were positioned in whatever industry or ministry they're in by God. That's one. Two, almost all of them are insecure about the influence that they carry in that specific ministry or industry. It does not matter how many influencers they have. I mean, how many followers they have, how higher up they may be in this, you know, company or position or ministry. They all carry this level of, God, why would you pick me? Why am I the one doing this? I don't feel worthy enough. And at Say Grace Dallas, it was interesting because one of the conversations leading up to that was people really struggled with the word influencer. And I was asked to remove influencer from the title of the summit because people felt as though it would deter people from wanting to come because they would think influencer and think snobby or think, you know, uppity. It's not a humble word, right? And I listened to all of the feedback. I listened to all of the feedback and I understood where people were coming from. And yet I knew that God told me, like, this is what it's supposed to be. And this is your demographic. And one of the things I will say for people that are struggling with just bare minimum having influence in a ministry, in an industry, in a marketplace is do not be afraid of the anointing that God is giving you in that space. When I think influencer, I don't think algorithm, I think anointing. And I feel that I think that way because I believe that God thinks that way. So I'm not bothered so much about, or I don't feel that we should shy away from our influence when it's God-given oil. right? He's called us to be a light in dark places. He's called us to be the salt of the earth. And that means that we bring flavor. So that means that we bring creativity. That means that we're trendsetters. That means that we are the ones that when we show up in a room, people probably do kind of like turn their head and look, right? It doesn't matter if you're wearing eyeliner or no eyeliner. It doesn't matter if you have on heels or tennis, for goodness sakes, right? The Lord's delight is within you. So one, I would tell people that are listening is do not fear God's anointing. He's given it to you for a reason, for a specific calling and assignment that is on your life. And the anointing has nothing to do with you. It was given to you by God for you to do his work. So one, I think that we have to seek God first in all things. And I think that when it comes to leaving somewhere, I think about not if I should leave, but I ask God, have you released me from this? I change my vocabulary because sometimes the vocabulary can throw people off. Certain words, like when people say, are you resigning from the job? Are you quitting your job? Are you leaving your job from a 9 to 5 to go into full-time entrepreneur? And sometimes that's a lot to mentally wrap your head around, right? God told me, like, for the longest time, God would, I felt like people would call me a strategist and I would have strategy on certain things. And God told me, I didn't give you strategy, I gave you sight. And I gave you eyes to see things that maybe other people don't see in the specific area that I've given you eyes to see in. And other people may want to give you the label of a strategist, but you just have to know that I gave you sight. And don't be thrown off by other people wanting to label it something else. They maybe don't have the vocabulary or the right word choices to understand how you work and how you move. And that's okay. They're not supposed to. They didn't create you. I did.
Amen to that.
I don't expect you to get it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It can be a lot to get is when you start thinking about people are like, why would you leave your job? Like, that doesn't make good sense. But God's given me wisdom. So don't tell me I don't make good sense. You know, like it is combating what others may say, or even you may say, and replacing those words with God's word. But ask God, have you been released? And if the answer is yes, then there's always a way to do things in decency and order. But sometimes we want God to tell us what's next before making the decision. And sometimes God don't do that. Sometimes he does. But there's a lot of times when he doesn't. And that's what faith really looks like.
Do you know what I love best about being a part of an online community? I get to meet some pretty incredible people who have done some pretty incredible things. Take my new friend Alicia Hamilton, for example. She recently wrote a new devotional called Eternity in Our Hearts, which was published by Hosanna Revival. Eternity in Our Hearts leads leaders to discover the literary masterpiece, timeless truths, upside-down kingdom wisdom, and eternal perspective of Ecclesiastes. This 7-week study walks readers through every verse of Ecclesiastes, weaving in passages from all across the Bible as it traces major themes through the whole of Scripture. Author Alicia Hamilton has asked the hard questions of Ecclesiastes and brings real answers to the table. This study tackles tricky passages from all angles and holds each verse up to the light to show its beauty, piercing perspective, and impact for our lives. Each day features devotional readings, reflective journaling questions, and reading activities. We hope that through this study, you will find rest for your soul, peace in your circumstances, and an eternal perspective that frees you to live with unbridled joy. Alicia's prayer is that you will draw a fresh breath of the Spirit as you experience again and again that your Savior is gentle and lowly in heart and encounter the mysterious, wise majesty of our Father. You can purchase it today at hosannarevival.com/pages/devotionals, and you'll find her book, Eternity in Our Hearts, there. For small groups, download the free Leader's Guide and purchase 10 or more to get $5 off your book. Make sure to go to the direct link in our show notes to find exactly what you need. Again, that's Hosanna Revival, hosannarevival.com/pages/devotionals to start shopping today. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Kashan.
I think if we even knew his strategy, we would probably not do it at all. And I was just thinking of the story of like how God gave the dreams to Joseph, how his brothers and nations were going to go bow down before him. Yeah. And he had that vision. And yet the strategy and how to get there was completely, I'm sure, was not going to be what Joseph would have wanted. Like if he knew, he'd probably be like, never mind, I'll just play along and get along with my brothers. Like that's, I don't want to go through this pain. That is what it is a lot of the time. Like I've got vision for splendor, but it doesn't mean that it's not painful to go through and figure it out. And yet as I go through it, the Lord continues to give me more strategy and more understanding of how to do this job, because he's the one who's actually equipping me as I go along. But if I knew 3 years ago how difficult this would be, I might have said no. But
that's very honest. I tell God all the time, if I would have known the pandemic was going to happen when it did, I probably would have never left LA when I did. Mm-hmm. I probably would have stayed. And with that being said, me and my now husband probably wouldn't have made it, because flying back and forth and doing a long distance probably wouldn't have been viable.
Right.
So we probably would have just been like, oh man, it just wasn't the best time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, totally. I think
there's that level of, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say too, I think it's like for those who want to hear from the Lord of like what to do, because I'm 29. So my whole 20s were spending after going wherever he was calling me to go. And in that whole process, in the back of my mind, I kept asking the Lord, like, what have you called me to do? Like, I'm happy to go wherever you're leading me to, but there's something that's not where I feel like you have call me to do something specific yet. I know I've got gifts and talents, but I'm not using them. And I remember thinking and remember hearing that, you know, if I knew 5 years down the line what I was supposed to do, would I have done it in my early 20s? No, absolutely not. Like God will, if people who are listening to this podcast are struggling with that same question, my comfort hopefully to you is to know that he will say and will call you to do something in his timing that is right, when he knows that you'll say yes. Or when he knows that you'll make the most impact too, because he's growing you. And over the years of what I've done in my 20s, and I'm sure he's done this for you as well, he has been teaching me what I'm passionate about and what I want to see grow in the church. Not knowing that in my early 20s, like my all my life up until I was 23, I wanted to get married and have kids, and that was all. Mm-hmm. And knowing like, and that's not bad, but there is so much more that God has called me to do. And I'm thankful for this time to be able to know that, and to know that I am pursuing God's calling and doing and being a part of his will, and to grow in that. So thanks for just speaking. You spoke a word today to my heart. I think you spoke a word to others who are listening today. So
good. Yeah, I think, and that I'm reminded when you say that last story before we go.
Please share. I love them.
I remembered when I was going through my single season, and I was, of course, encouraged to read the Book of Ruth, right? Mm-hmm. And because a lot of singles women are told to Reroute.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly, guys, this is only about four chapters. And I'm kind of like, am I missing a page? Because I feel like,
Where's the process where I'm going to have to find my Boaz? Come on.
Right. Like, I'm just trying to see exactly what's supposed to click here. Okay. But what I think that revelation, like fresh revelation that God has given me with that, now reading it and studying it, being married, is something that I feel is super important for women that are in a similar season of not only just being single, but being single and really just trusting and walking. And the reason why I say this is because a lot of people look at the story of Ruth and they reference Boaz. But now when I look at the story of Ruth, I think about her conviction to stay by and with Naomi. And when I look at this story, I think about why would she do that? Like, why would she do that? Like, after losing her husband, after Naomi flat out telling her and, you know, her other daughter-in-law, I have nothing to offer you. There is nothing for you here. You need to go back home and, you know, go get married. It wasn't even safe for Ruth to go back to Bethlehem. She was a Moabite woman, right? It wasn't safe for her to go. Why would she say, no, I will go where you go. I will die where you die. Your God will be, you get what I'm saying? Like, what was that? There was a conviction that Ruth had in the midst of A, not knowing what she was going to do, not knowing why she was going. And some may say, like, what exactly was she doing? Like, what skill did she have that was being utilized? And some may say that there wasn't really a skill other than obedience and other than the fact that she was convicted by the Holy Spirit to stay with Naomi. And yes, we know that she ended up with Boaz, but the thing that she asked Boaz, the question is, why have I found favor in your sight? And Boaz responded and said it was her reputation of how she treated her mother-in-law that got back to him before she even opened her mouth. There is something about our reputation of being an obedient and a holy convicted woman that goes before us and runs before we even open our mouths, right? So I say that to say, during seasons of people feeling like, I don't even know if I'm even operating fully in my gifting. Like, I don't even really know if my skills are being utilized. But there could be something else that is so much more valuable sometimes in our skills and our gifting that sometimes we don't put value in. And sometimes that is just being not only led by the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to lead us, but that also is the fruit of His Spirit. There was a level of patience. I'm imagining Naomi was grieving. I'm pretty sure how she communicated to Ruth wasn't in the nicest way. Some may even say that she was going through it with grieving. People go through bitterness and unforgiveness. There could have been a lot of things that were going on during that time. And yet, Ruth was not moved. She wasn't moved. So when I go back and I read the story now, I don't even really know if Boaz was a factor. I think that that was just, she was in the right place at the right time doing what God told her to do. And because of that, she was blessed with the Boaz. If I really want to go back and look at it. But when I really look at what she gained during that season and time, it was the fact that there is something so powerful about walking in conviction. And I think that when you're in seasons of not knowing, just lean on God and trust what He has placed in your heart. And that's more than enough. not every gifting and every skill is going to be utilized in every season, in every situation. And sometimes we have to be okay with that. It's humbling ourselves to be like, I have so much more than what I could do.
Yeah.
I know that I can.
Yeah.
And yet God would still tell me sometimes to sit down and say nothing. But God, I've done this, 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 this. And yet I'm still telling you to do nothing. So is this more about you showing off your gifting and your anointing in a specific area to feel better about yourself? So why don't you just go ahead and lay that burden down?
Yeah.
Because maybe that's the real thing.
Yeah.
Is that you don't feel good about just being a daughter isn't enough.
Yeah.
And for someone who can say I'm not a mom yet, but being a wife, and my husband is amazing, and this man knows me through and through, but what he don't know is every hair on my head. There's only one who does.
That's right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Totally.
So that's my last.
No. I was, and you know what? This conversation is going to go on forever and ever. Just because this is
right,
such, it's so, so good. And I'll just like bounce off of this and say a quick note of like, continue with that, of what you were saying about Ruth is, Ruth's motivation to follow after Naomi was not about what she was going to get from that situation. As you mentioned, like there was a little bit of danger in her going to Bethlehem. There was nothing really for her. She's also a widow, and there's a potential that she might never have gotten married again either. So she was not thinking about what she could get. She was not thinking about, oh, I'm going to get a Boaz, you know, like she was thinking about how she could serve her mother-in-law, how she could, you know, and that was the moment where she began to serve her God, which became, you know, Ruth's God, and that she was honoring him. And I think in those moments too, of like, when we think about what can we do in our lives, let's think about how we can glorify God and what we can do to serve others instead of about what we can get for ourselves. So, so yeah, man, thank you again so much. Like, as I said, we could continue bouncing back and forth, and I'm really just thankful to have this conversation with you. And I'm sure conversations like that looked similarly and well, for one with your podcast as well, but through the summit with Say Grace and Co. Do you, I would love for you to be able to share like what, where people can find you, your company, what's coming up with Say Grace, and other ways that they can find you.
We're super excited. We're already planning into next year. So if you're looking for any and all information, you can head over to saygraceandco.com. Early bird tickets for Say Grace Nashville, that's happening next summer. We're super excited. They just became available, I want to say last week. So if you're interested in attending, definitely head over and grab your tickets for that. I also do have a podcast as well called the K-Watts Podcast. You can head over and stream that, where I not only share personal testimonials, but I interview women. Like, clearly testimonials is a thing for me. I love them. And I think because this is kind of like what it does, it sharpens one another. It edifies each other. And sometimes it's one of the things that we can do with what we have. And people say, well, I don't have much to offer. And it's kind of like you have a whole testimonial that can bless someone else's life that you can share for free, you know? And sometimes those are the things. But you can follow me on social media at I am Kay Watts on Instagram, as well as on TikTok. But other than that, like, thank you so much for just having me on. And it was a pleasure. And I'm so excited. I'm so proud of you. I'm looking forward to see Splendor Magazine just flourish and thrive. There's such a sweetness to it, which I love. Like, there is an intentionality behind it, but it's not a self-serving intentionality. It's definitely that you are intentionally making sure that you are highlighting women the way God highlights them. And there's something so beautiful about seeing your sisters and your brothers in Christ the way God sees them. And that's where I really see like the sweet spot for splendor. It's like I see you the way God sees you. And from as a woman and as a daughter and a sister in Christ, like that always warms my heart. When someone sees me how God sees me, it's one of the best compliments that someone can give me. So I'm just grateful that there is a resource and a way in which you're able to do that through Splendor. So congratulations. I'm proud of you. I'm super excited for all that's to come, and just keep trusting God with it and just allowing him to do what he's going to do with it.
Thank you. Well, it sounds like you ended up with this podcast, like it was your
No,
podcast. So, no, but it
I'm
was
like,
so,
this is so
it's literally
heartbreaking when
so
you're interviewing.
wonderful.
I know, it's terrible.
No, it's so good. I love it because it's just so encouraging to my heart right now, and the Lord
Oh,
knew I
good.
needed to hear it. So, for
There you
those
go.
who have never heard of Kashawn Watson before, I definitely recommend you following her, following Say Grace and Co. Man, there was other things I wanted to ask you about, but you know what? We're friends, so there's
Hit
gonna
me
be
up
other
anytime.
opportunities
So
to
fun.
chat. And so I highly
Absolutely.
recommend following her. All of that information will be on the show notes. Kashawn, thank you so much for joining the show. It was such an honor.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you and catch you next time. Kashawn brought a word today. Man, what a wonderful conversation we had. I absolutely enjoyed hearing from Kashawn about everything that God has done in her life, and I hope you found some encouragement from her for your life as well. If you like this episode, please like, save, and share with someone you think might also be encouraged from this conversation. I truly believe that Kashawn's testimony she shared today will help you and others learn how we can be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. Make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, you can find me on Instagram at The Lydia Summer. The music of the Dress and Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, Pastel Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.